Hello, and welcome to the Poetry Exchange. My name's Fiona Bennett.
And my name is Michael Schaefer. Lovely to be back with you again. Thank you for joining us.
It was brilliant that last time you and I were together, Michael, and doing the voiceover that went with the last episode, we thought to invite people in particular to be in touch and nominate a poem that's been a friend to them. And it was wonderful that quite a few people have done that. So just thanks to everybody out there who has taken the time to take a look at the website, visit the nominate page and tell us about those poems, because we've been introduced to some new poems that we didn't know, and it's fantastic to be able to add those to our archive.
Yeah, it's been really great, hasn't it? And we've had some lovely feedback from the last episode. If you do want to get in touch, we will always try and get back to you. Not necessarily immediately, but we will get back to you. So thanks. We mentioned at the beginning of last month's episode that we'd been in Durham recently having some conversations, and this month's episode features one of those conversations, and it's a Carol Ann Duffy poem. It's the second time we've had one of Carol Ann's poems nominated to us, and she's coming towards the end of her laureateship. Is that right, Fee? It's a 10-year appointment?
It is indeed, and this is her last year.
So, yes, terrific to be able to feature another one of her poems.
You'll be listening to Andrea and John talking about Last Post by Carol Ann Duffy, the poem that's been a friend to Jackie.
Oh, a Carol Ann Duffy poem.
Yes, I really, really love Carol Ann Duffy.
Yeah, I do too.
And I've seen her read things a couple of times, and they had a very strong effect on me. And what I really love about this is something that she does quite a lot, which is about talking about time going in the other direction.
Would you like to read it to us?
Okay. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If poetry could tell it backwards, true, begin that moment shrapnel scythed you to the stinking mud, but you get up, amazed, watch bled, bad blood run upwards from the slime into its wounds, see lines and lines of British boys rewind back to their trenches, kiss the photographs from home, mothers, sweethearts, sisters, younger brothers not entering the story now, to die and die and die. Dulce, no. Decorum, no. Pro patria mori. You walk away. You walk away. Drop your gun, fixed bayonet, like all your mates do too. Harry, Tommy, Wilfred, Edward, Bert, and light a cigarette. There's coffee in the square, warm French bread, and all those thousands dead are shaking dried mud from their hair and queuing up for home. Freshly alive, a lad plays Tipperary to the crowd, released from history. The glistening, healthy horses, fit for heroes, kings. You lean against a wall, your several million lives still possible, and crammed with love, work, children, talent, English beer, good food. You see the poet tuck away his pocketbook and smile. If poetry could truly tell it backwards, then it would.
That is an amazing poem.
It was written because the last two First World War soldiers died quite recently. They died kind of within a week of each other. Yeah. And she wrote a poem to commemorate that. They were both called Harry.
Oh, okay.
And it was just to record that event, really. And all those black and white films we've seen of the war, and that sense of them being played backwards, it really gets me. And this thing about, I think as you get older as well, looking back over your life like that, that sense of, you know, you can't go back, you know, but you want to very often, and you want to relive things and you want to rewind things too. So I think it means more to me now than it would 20 years ago or 30
yes.
years ago.
You can just see it visually. The boys getting up from the field, yeah. the mud drying, the backwards into a life they once knew.
Yes, I love that about, you know, when you're young, you've got several million lives that are possible, and you don't know which one's going to happen. And And one of the things I really like is about the first two lines, which I'm guessing you probably recognise, are from a poem by Wilfred Owen. So she's lifted those, and then she mentions Wilfred later in the poem, and Harry obviously is like the two soldiers who had finally died in their 90s.
Oh, wow, yeah, to make that connection.
Yeah, so it's about the past, but really about the present. And I, you know, I always, when this thing about at the end, you see the poet tuck away his pocketbook and smile, and it's his pocketbook, and obviously she's writing as a woman. So is that Wilfred Owen tucking away his pocketbook? It's a male gaze upon this, isn't it? And what is a very male environment, but she's writing it as a woman. And I think it's interesting that she sees it almost in a different way to a man would, about this thing about if you could only go backwards and bring them all to life again. And of course he died, didn't he, at the very end of the war. So he was one of the boys who didn't go home and didn't have his several million lives still possible.
When did you first read this poem?
It was in The Guardian at the time that these two old soldiers died. Mm. And The Guardian almost always publishes her poems when she does them to commemorate sort of national events and stuff. And it stopped me in my tracks, actually. I thought it was so clever, and I thought it was so touching. And I thought it had something to say to everybody, really. And then, funnily enough, more recently, this thing about rewriting history in a different way has kind of started to mean something else to me as well. It's like, because we see it all the time, don't they? People, you know, the people in power are trying to rewrite history in different ways. And you can almost imagine this being said about something like the Vietnam War, about it being reversed. And I remember reading many years ago about, in surveys of young people in America, they thought they won the Vietnam War because of all the films that had been made about it. And I think, you know, because we're in quite a dangerous situation, I think, with truth not really meaning, meaning a lot to some people anymore. And at the end it says, if poetry could truly tell it backwards, and what is that truly? Mm-hmm. Because if you told it backwards, of course it wouldn't be true, would it? You know, it's all conditional, isn't it? If it would, you know, if it could and it can't.
I'm wondering what personally kind of drew you. It's a different time and a different place, and yet you're relating it to the present, which is so fascinating. Did it resonate with you on a personal basis too?
Yes. About things that I have regretted, or people that I have lost that I wish I could go back with. And I suppose those people only now exist in your head, and you remember them. There's like a little film reel of that person doing something, and you can replay it, and you can replay it. It is about the loss of somebody and wishing that I could go back and for the story to have played out differently.
What do you do with that regret? I mean, we all feel that sometimes. In this poem, I think you're so right. It's talking about it, you know, people that lived before our time, and yet it's still so true today, you know, whether we apply it to wars or just to our personal lives. And yet she doesn't really give us an answer in a way. She commemorates the lives and makes us remember regret. What do we do with it?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I would say personally it's really important to remember things and people, even when you can't do anything about it. Mm. You know, because I think I've certainly met people who have sad memories in their lives, and they deal with it by never thinking about it, and they just don't want to, and it's too painful, and all the rest of it. And so it's kind of, it denies the truth of it, doesn't it? And this is kind of about truth.
Yes.
And I think this is a kind of mature person's poem, isn't it? Somebody who's lived and understands about all the past that's behind them rather than the future in front of them. And that acceptance of, you know, there are things that have happened which are really sad and you can't do anything about it. But maybe it's about honouring them as well. It's just kind of off the top of my head, but if you remember somebody, you honour them, don't you? And she's honouring Wilfred Owen by quoting from his poetry.
She's
commemorating the event and the two soldiers who had died. And, you know, there's a lot of commemoration in here, but not in the, you know, that thing in the, when she quotes from his poem about dulce et decorum est, you know, it's like, no, it's not beautiful and it's not honourable to die for your country. So she's remembering it, but not in the kind of official way.
Mm.
Just, she is literally, like you were saying, just saying, what a damn shame this was, and what a pity we can't rewind it and do something about it.
The only thing that would be better would be to reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the act of writing it is a way of reversing it. Not in reality, but at least in writing it, she's saying, this is how it was before. This is the lives these people led. Yeah. This is the joy that was in those lives.
Yeah.
This is the beauty, this is the everything that was there. Which seems to me to be a bit like how you're talking about, if there's, you know, someone that isn't there in our life anymore where we might have regret, there is still the possibility of remembering.
Mm. When you say that, it makes me think she's almost done this herself, really, hasn't she? Because even if you didn't know this poem, you read it once, and you think, oh, that poem where the film's going backwards, you know, because it's so very memorable, that kind of idea. It just becomes almost part of how you think about things, because she's written it down in really, really simple words.
Simple, and yet it's almost like, for example, seeing the blood go back into the wounds and then the boys back in their trenches, there's something almost more memorable than seeing it all played forward.
You really see
the moment of...
It makes it strange, doesn't it?
It does.
And that thing about, you know, something we all know about this, but you're right, it makes it strange by thinking of it backwards, and it's not, you can't just kind of brush it off as a normal thought, like, oh yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
But you see it backwards. Like sometimes when you see something from a different camera angle or whatever, and you think, oh my goodness, I didn't see that before. I just accepted it before. It does make me think about something in particular, and that is about the death of my mother. And I think, you know, sometimes you read something, or maybe you see a film or whatever, and it upsets you a lot, and you don't really realise why it's upset you at the time.
Mm.
But then afterwards, you think, oh yeah, I know, because it reminds me of this. So I don't think when I first read this that it made me think that. But because I loved it, and I reread it, and I always got upset about it. And then I think I realised that that is the thing that it makes me sad about. The pathos in it just strikes me as being so, you know, the loss of those boys' innocence, and the war was such a loss of innocence as well. And I don't know, I just did realise that I had a very emotional response to it the first time I read it, but it took me quite a long time to realise why I felt so emotional about it. Because on first sight, you'd think, well, you know, the war is terrible, but not something that affected, you know, me, obviously. But that feeling that you can't really put into words about regret and wishing you could go back is just something that I knew was about something else in me.
And it's the amazing power of the poem to do that to us. And in the first encounter, you know, a poem of the war and of that war, and that is remembering and looking back to that and the poetry of that. And through that, because what that really is about is about loss, is about terrible loss that shouldn't have happened in dreadful circumstances in this case, to whatever it was there for you, to have found a very, very personal and authentic connection for yourself in your life.
Well, it's something like, you know, there's not been a day gone by that I haven't thought about it. It was over 40 years ago. So the ability of something like poetry or song or something like that to in a sense kind of ambush you to continue the military kind of thing. You can be ambushed by stuff that you know, a second ago you were might have been quite cheerful about something. You know, that's and maybe I'm sure that's true for all of these, you know, the mothers, the sweethearts, the sisters, the younger brothers, you know, I'm sure they were ambushed by these losses equally. And constant till the day they died.
But Jackie, that's what makes this very special, and like, because it's making you remember. And I think that's what you came in saying very strongly from the beginning, was we can't not look back.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be ambushed by the pain or the grief, and yet beyond that, or before that, is a sort of sanctified place in a way, you know, when the boys were still alive and when your mother was still alive, and the place of where life was normal, that sort of before versus the after.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because on things like memorials and stuff, you know, that thing about they shall not grow old, like that is the only consolation for all of those boys, that, you know, they never grew old, and they were always remembered in their heyday, in their youth, and that's always seemed to me a really incredibly small consolation for not having had the rest of their life. But that feeling still, you know, things like, you know, we look back at, you know, the beautiful people like James Dean or whatever, people who died young, and that's almost part of the myth about those people, isn't it? That they were always beautiful and always,
it's true,
an icon.
Yes.
And that, in the third stanza, that I feel to me as I read it, is what's happening so beautifully, is it's saying, it's a playing back of things that have happened and that have ended, but in playing it back, the walking through the square, the eating of bread, the shaking off of, it's saying, look what could have been.
Yeah.
Look what was, it's over. Look what more there could have been. Simple as that.
And I'm not getting like a lot of hopefulness from this, but it's just occurred to me when you've said that, you know, for some lads, of course, they did shake the dried mud from their hair and they did go back home.
And that is true.
For a small, but I've never thought about that part of it before, and it's not really implicit in the words, but for some, of course, they did, and they did still have several million lives still possible, and they did do those things, but everything was ruined for them, really, wasn't it? I mean, they were never the same again, and actually so often never spoke of it. And here's, you know, it is the poets and stuff who have spoken for those people, haven't they? I've given those words in my reading and stuff, that lots of people came home and never mentioned it again. You know, even though they must have been traumatized in ways we can't imagine, but they never had words to say about their experience. So I think it's really important that other people try to describe that. And it feels completely sincere, doesn't it?
This is absolutely
a sincere kind of regret and honouring of these people who lost their lives. And there doesn't seem to me that, you know, it's a clever poem, if you like, but it's not trying to be clever.
No.
It strikes me as being so sincere.
Yeah, honest and yeah.
True.
Keep coming back to the true.
Yeah.
Last post. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If poetry could tell it backwards, true, begin that moment shrapnel scythed you to the stinking mud, but you get up, amazed, watch bled bad blood run upwards from the slime into its wounds. See lines and lines of British boys rewind back to their trenches,
kiss the photographs from home, mothers, sweethearts, sisters, younger brothers, not entering the story now, to die and die and die. Dulce, no. Decorum, no. Pro patria mori. You walk away. You walk away, drop your gun, fixed bayonet, like all your mates do too. Harry, Tommy, Wilfred, Edward, Bert, and light a cigarette. There's coffee in the square, warm French bread, and all those thousands dead are shaking dried mud from their hair and queuing up for home. Freshly alive, a lad plays Tipperary to the crowd, released from history. The glistening, healthy horses fit for heroes, kings. You lean against a wall, your several million lives still possible and crammed with love, work, children, talent, English beer, good food. You see the poet tuck away his pocketbook and smile. If poetry could truly tell it backwards, then it would.
That was John with the gift reading at the end there.
Our thanks to Caroline Duffy for allowing us to feature the poem on this month's episode, and indeed to Jackie for giving us permission to share the conversation with you.
As well as to everyone up at Durham for making us feel so welcome and for allowing us to use the beautiful chapel at St Chad's. So I'm holding in my hands a copy of Caroline Duffy's new collection, Sincerity, which is published by Picador. We'll include a link so that you can all rush out and buy that. I've not had a chance to look at it. It's yours, in fact, Fiona.
I literally have got it this morning. It's just come onto the shelves this very last 48 hours. It's amazingly exciting to see it, and I'm really looking forward to reading all the poems.
And she's also edited an anthology of war poems, is that correct? Is it First World War poems?
It's an anthology of poems which honours those who have made sacrifice in wars of all times.
Mm. And what's that called?
Armistice. And that's published by Faber and Faber.
It just remains for us to say thank you, as always, for listening. We only do it because people listen. please do share with your friends, follow us on Twitter, and we have a donate button on our website, so if you can give anything, big or small, it really makes a difference.
So wherever you may be as you're listening, and whatever time it is, we wish you a peaceful rest of day or night, and we look forward to being back with you next month with the next episode of Poems as Friends. Thank you for listening.